Well, good morning, Texas. Here we are with program number 27. Actually, it's part two, as we are comparing Revelation chapter 6, the coming of the Antichrist, with Revelation chapter 19, which is the coming of the real risen Savior. And we are talking about how many people today are being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist with their false gospel, false doctrines, false teachings based on the Gospels and the Tribulation books and all these sorts of things, and are ignoring the teachings of the risen Savior through Paul in a King James Bible, rightly divided, so we understand what's to us from the risen Savior. This morning, we are going to break down those two chapters, Revelation 6 and Revelation 19, and we're going to compare the two comers, the two that are coming. And you can see without a shadow of a doubt that chapter 6, which is what everybody's being prepared for, is the coming of the Antichrist. And Revelation 19 is obviously the real Savior. Then we'll toss a couple of verses at you from the book of Daniel. And I'll also show you why it's not possible, in spite of all the books and authors and preachers and teachers teaching everything they can think of to do with the tribulation and the coming of the Lord, etc., that we don't know everything, and we're not even supposed to know everything about it. That's not the issue of the day. The issue of the day is the risen Savior. The issue of the day is to not let people, as Paul worries about or is concerned about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, going off with this Antichrist, going off with these ministers of righteousness is called, which all belong to the devil, as he's the angel of light, etc., etc. That's the issue for today, to help people see the truth and not be led into an imitation Savior with their imitation salvation based on imitation Bibles that they hear from imitation preachers at imitation churches that are being led by imitation spirit. Today's program will have a few hard things in it, actually. And I'm curious to see if maybe that'll get some of you folks to write to me. SusanMann@Bechtel.com. I would love to hear from you. I'm not out to look at any confrontation. I just want to have people hear this and write to me, tell me what they think, whether they've never heard it before and they appreciate it. Their eyes are being enlightened. They're opening up some things, not because of me, but because I'm showing you the scriptures in the King James Bible and how to rightly divide and read that thing, as simple as it is, implicitly in Christ. So let's go to Romans chapter 6, maybe in one hand, and Revelation chapter 19, maybe in the other hand. Maybe you have two Bibles there, Revelation 6, Revelation 19. Maybe you can just kind of put some bookmarks in there. And let me show you some things here. If you have a piece of paper even, you can, left column, you can write Jesus Christ, Revelation 19, and on the right column, Antichrist, Revelation chapter 6. For example, in Revelation 19, verse 11, the real Christ, it says, in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Revelation 6, there's war involved, but you'll see in verse 4 that the war is among themselves. Now see, people are going to be accusatory towards the real Savior, that he still comes back. Where's his love? Where's the love of the book of Revelation to say that Jesus is going to come back and fight and war and all that stuff? Well, what you'll see here is, he's not the one making the war. It's the people that are making the war after him, at him, towards him. Another example is in Revelation chapter 19, verse 15. It says that he is God's wrath. That's what Christ is. He is God's wrath. And Revelation talks about the ministry, if you want to call it a ministry, of the Antichrist ends up as a result of the great day of God's wrath, and they receive God's wrath. Jesus Christ is God's wrath, and the Antichrist receives God's wrath. 19:15, chapter 19, verse 15. Jesus Christ comes with a sword, and in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, the Antichrist comes with a bow. It's a bowman. I've had preachers say the sign of the bowman is a sign of the Antichrist. That's an issue with a two-finger little V-type thing, you know. Maybe pull it out toward anybody. 19:11, the real Christ comes, his name, he's called Faithful and True. There is no name for the Antichrist. They wouldn't dare put a name on him. People would wise up to that. Revelation chapter 19, verse 12, Christ comes with many crowns. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, the Antichrist is given a crown. Christ comes with the crowns given to the Antichrist. Death and hell are for those who fight against the real Savior, chapter 19, verse 17 to 21, and the same result of the people in Revelation 6, 8. But the difference is, in 19, they're fighting against Christ, and in 6, 8, they're actually fighting amongst themselves. You just read those verses, and you see that the Antichrist comes and it gets the people to fight amongst themselves. Now, if we were to look at John 16 and 1 John chapter 4, chapter 5, Revelation 11, 15, we'll see that Christ has already overcome. He's already the overcomer. And then when Christ shows up, then his kingdoms are going to be his now. His kingdoms are now. Revelation 6, 2, he comes, he has to actually conquer the world. Well, Christ already comes, he's already the overcomer. Which, by the way, any overcomerness in today's teachings and preachings, again, is a tribulation doctrine. Christ is the one that overcomes. Okay, here's a good one. Revelation 19:15. Christ comes, he makes peace on the earth. And chapter 6, verse 4 again, the Antichrist comes and he takes peace from the earth. Remember, he's causing war amongst the people. Chapter 19, verse 19, which talks about the fact that people make war against him, and in 6:8, they make war amongst themselves. So Christ comes to make peace on the earth. People go after him and make war with him. When the Antichrist comes, he comes and he fights the people and he gets the people to fight amongst themselves and he takes the peace from the earth. In 19:15, the real Savior comes with a sharp sword out of his mouth. And in Revelation 6:4, the sword is given to the Antichrist, is given to him. Christ is the sharp sword. Chapter 19, verse 17 and 18, Christ feeds these people to the birds. There's that phrase, to the birds. And in Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 to 8, he measures out the food and we know a famine follows. A little bit different, don't you think? Quite a bit of difference here. Chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, his people are killed for their testimony and his words. Whose people? Christ's people. During the tribulation, those people will be killed because of their testimony, of their walk. They will have to walk the walk, not just talk the walk like we do today. And they'll kill for testimony and his words. And in chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, the Antichrist, he will kill people because of that very testimony and because of the word of God. Quite a bit of difference. Jesus Christ is called the true one, the way, the truth, the life. And Paul talks about Satan as another Jesus. See, it's still a Jesus type. It's a Jesus name, but it's another Jesus. It's a different one. And what is this another Jesus? Where do they get the doctrine from this another Jesus? Well, they teach the Gospels in the wrong dispensation. They teach the tribulation books in the wrong dispensation. There's where they come up with this doctrine. It has to be doctrine about Jesus because Jesus is who Jesus is. So another Jesus is going to use the doctrine given to the Jews by the real Jesus. In Revelation 21, the real Jesus Christ has a city. It's his bride. And what is Jerusalem? Well, Revelation 17, the Antichrist has a city too. It's Babylon. John chapter 8, verse 12, chapter 9, verse 5, Christ is called the light of the world. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, Satan is called an angel of light. And his ministers are called ministers of righteousness. These guys are preaching righteousness. They're not preaching God's righteousness. They're not preaching Christ's righteousness. They're preaching the people's own righteousness by guilt and getting them to fear God, that if they don't do the right thing in their righteousness walk, then God will get them for it. They're being taught the wrong thing. Revelation 19:16, he is called the King of Kings. Job 41 talks about king over all the children of pride. He's the king over all the children of pride, this Antichrist fella. Isaiah chapter 9, he's called the Prince of Peace in verse 6. John chapter 14, Satan's called the Prince of this world. John chapter 20, verse 28, my Lord and my God. That's Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's called the God of this world. There's quite a bit of difference between my Lord and my God and the God of this world. In Luke chapter 4, I think you know the story of the temptations. Christ quoted scriptures to deal with Satan. It is written, he said. However, in Luke chapter 4, verse 10, for example, Satan himself, uses supposed scriptures because he says it is written, but he's changed them. That isn't quite the way the scriptures read. So from the day that the devil tried to go after Jesus, he took scriptures and he changed them. So who's behind changing scriptures to this day? And in Revelation chapter 5, Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And unfortunately, Satan is called a roaring lion, the adversary. So Satan tries to imitate. Remember what that said? Satan is trying to be the one that will be like the Most High. So he's got a city, uses the word light. Paul warned us about these things. He tries to come and conquer the world. Christ has already overcome, which, by the way, because of that statement right there, the Antichrist is coming to conquer the world. We find out that the modern preachers today say that we must conquer the world for Christ. We must win the world over to Christ. That's a teaching that is an underhanded teaching. The fact that Christ is going to come and conquer the world, he's already overcome. And they're going to fight him and he'll win. He does not have to come here to conquer anybody. They go after him. The devil's going to come back as the Antichrist, trying to conquer the world for himself, and he's going to get the people to fight amongst themselves. There's a difference. Just like the song says, we are more than conquerors. Our job as a Christian is not to conquer the world for Jesus. That's what his message will be when he's coming back, the Antichrist. That's what his message will be to get the Christians to think they need to do what they do. In order to conquer somebody, you've got to destroy. And the truth today, the devil has been trying to destroy the truth since Paul came along with the risen Savior. He's trying to conquer the world to his following. Christ comes to make peace on earth. Devil comes to take peace from earth. The whole category there, the two columns. Christ comes with the sword. The Antichrist comes with the bow. It's just fascinating stuff when you compare them one to each other. Now, another place people will go when it comes to the tribulation is to the Old Testament, to the prophecy stuff. And I'll show you here that you really don't need to dig all that deep. And I'll show you that he doesn't even really want us to be able to dig all that deep. He doesn't really even want us to know all that's going to be taking place during the tribulation. Why not, do you suppose? That's not our issue today. And I'll show you some things here. I'm just going to pop up a couple of verses for you. We're not going to make this into a deep study whatsoever. I'm not going to give you my two cents. This will be pretty plain. Let's go to Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. These are references that are dealing with this false king, this Antichrist. These are in references to him. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now, it seems strange to a lot of people the fact that how could anybody ever elect or allow to lead a vile person? Well, it's easy to elect or to hire a vile person if you yourself are vile. And look at the morals, look at the perversions that are taking place in our country. Look at who's been elected over these years. It takes vile people to elect a vile person. So that suddenly makes sense. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Now, quick bunny trail here. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says in verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words. You will see that by bare speeches and good words that these people that are ministers of righteousness working for the devil's doctrines, for the Antichrist, they're good at flatteries. So here's this leader that's going to come in, and it says he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. Verse 22, and with the arms of a flood shall they be overflowed from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Arms of a flood, is that a water flood, or maybe a people or children flood? Interesting. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Now, he's not talking short people, he's talking with small people. Minority, possibly? Let's go over to verse 27. Verse 27. Just so people don't keep saying this phrase, the Lord, if the Lord tarries, pray that the Lord tarries. Well, according to this chapter right here, the Lord is not going to tarry. It's not the design to tarry. Verse 27, and both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, and his heart shall be against the holy covenant, and he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return. So, this is going to happen at a certain time, whether people are prepared or not. Go down to verse 35. Now, when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. So, we see here that the Lord isn't going to tarry. We see that flatteries and peace is the trick. And we see flattery going on today. Flattery, positive thinking, positive talking. What's that phrase? Politically correct phraseology and things like that. That's flattery. Okay, now it's going to get a little tougher here. Look at verse 36. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Now here we go. This is the Antichrist. This is what's being slowly prepared, and now even quickly being prepared for his arrival. These three things right here. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Okay, that's pretty obvious. Ignore the truth. Nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. That one makes sense. But that second one, nor the desire of women, what in the world is that? Whatever it is, this Antichrist is not going to regard that. So whatever the desire of women is, and the God of his fathers, all that has to be slowly fizzled away. It has to be untaught. It has to be taken away from the minds of the people. Well, let's go back to Genesis 3, and I'll show you something that is quite startling. What is the desire of women? What's it supposed to be? Whatever it is, the Antichrist is not going to honor it. He's not going to regard it, and he certainly wants it out of the way before he gets here, or he's got himself a handful. And if we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. This is after the scene in the garden. This is God now talking to the woman. And unto the woman he said, this is what Eve gets. This is what you women get because of what Eve did, how Eve was deceived by the devil. Remember, this is King James Bible. This is the Word of God, inspired, preserved, rightly divided, okay? I say that because you got to know this is what God says. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Well, you know that's true. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. That's true. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelts. And thy desire, that's to the woman, Eve's desire, all women, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Whoa, hold your horses. That's just old-fashioned. Well, that's the design. And when we realize that the desire of women is what the Antichrist is going to not regard, he wants that gone. And if we look back and see what's been going on in this world in the last 100 years or so, we see that the desire of women, which is, again, to thy husband, and then we see what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, we realize the Antichrist has been up to something here. He's been destroying the ladies, the women of this world, of this country especially, to take down that desire because he's not going to regard it. Now, we'll talk about the rest of those thoughts at another time, but that's enough to handle right there. Just remember Daniel 11:37, talking about the Antichrist, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women, and the desire of women is defined in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Shocker of all shockers. Now, we better get going here time-wise. Let's go down here to verse 38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. Oh, the God of forces. Have you ever heard a movie say, may the force be with you? Oh, that's interesting. See, it's all part of flatteries. It's all part of little by little by little. The devil is subtle. He's not quick. He's just carefully, and he just knows how to do little by little. Get those kids to be kind of numb to that sort of a thing. Let's finish this up quick and run out of time. Daniel chapter 12. Let's go to verse 4. These couple verses, you're going to see that we really aren't supposed to know just everything that's going on, you know. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. These are the things that Daniel saw regarding his tribulation, even to the time of the end. You know, shut up the words. Let's not bring that out. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Boy, are we in a time where knowledge is increased? Thank you to the computers and the tech world. Knowledge doubles every couple months or something like that in this world. We got all these books about the tribulation, all these books about Revelation, all these books about things that are be going on. And the Lord tells Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. We get the King James Bible, that's as much as we can stomach, that's as much as we can handle. Why do you say that? Because that part about the desire of women, that's a tough thing for people to handle today. Just for example, go to verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Well, what will the wise understand during that tribulational time? Two things. One, Amos chapter 8, verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And if the word of the Lord is the King James Bible, which I believe that it is, that's getting harder and harder to find. And it's going to be in its famine stage during the tribulation, and people are going to have to know ahead of time about that wisdom, about knowing what the Lord says. And then lastly, let's go to Revelation 14. What's wisdom during the tribulation? Wisdom during the tribulation is know what God expects out of you to be that saved person. Revelation 14, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God. That's what the people preach today. Fear God. You know, the severity of God versus the goodness of God. Anyway, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Even when Billy Graham says that hell is the absence of God, that's kind of shows that was baloney teaching. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, and that will be the wisdom that they will have to have during the tribulation. Well, that's a lot of stuff there. You've got the Antichrist tricking people today. You've got ministers of righteousness preaching the false gospels. You've got people all being prepared for the coming of the Antichrist. You've got some clues in Daniel that things are getting pretty close here. And we also find out that we don't need to know everything we think we need to know. And we find out that wisdom during the tribulation is not the wisdom that Paul teaches. That's during the dispensation of grace. Well, I'm sure we're out of time, so we will try to continue this, or we'll get into something else tomorrow morning. I sure would like to hear from all of you folks. Have a good day.